Whenever you're ready.
Alrighty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I am the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. Along my side today, returning actually, is the great Tom Farley Jr. How are you, Tom?
I am still great, which is awesome. Good to be back. It's been a while. Lots happened.
Yeah, it's been like 6 or 7 years. I mean, besides like the craziness of COVID, what's been going on with you?
Well, I've been really busy. I think COVID just kind of put things in perspective, and I had been working, with the Chris Farley Foundation, going into schools for 25 years, talking about prevention, and that's that was great. And then my book, and I still talk about all that kind of stuff. And it's my passion. But during COVID, I started to do a lot of webinars with treatment facilities, and I kept talking about how, the coming storm, what's coming. People are going to be leaving this pandemic with, behaviors they didn't have going in. And a lot of people struggled, not just with substance abuse, but also mental health. And I kept talking about it, and then it just dawned on me, I'm like, I got to do something about it. So I took a change in my, I've always been like a marketing, brand person and, public relations. And so I now work at, it's a treatment and mental health and substance abuse treatment center in Rockford called Rosecrans. And, we've got a lot of, locations down in Champaign area as well. I've covered Wisconsin, for them. And it's amazing. There's just a lot of people that need help. And I'm just loved that I'm, in the position to do that, to help them find, it's a bit of a change.
Yeah, I lost a cousin and a friend to fentanyl-related overdoses. And I think now more than ever, those kind of speeches and, even like memories of your own struggle and other struggle is needed more than ever.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, that's exactly why I got into this, And these statistics, when you see, people that, lost people for fentanyl, which is actually, it's out of control. And either fentanyl or teen suicides. And I'm doing a podcast next week on suicides. And I just thought it's like, those statistics, those are the end statistics. That's the end, and there's nothing after that. So for every one of those statistics, is that the word? there is 100,000-fold people before that, before they get to be that statistic, that are, struggling or in crisis. So that's how big, if you think the numbers of fentanyl overdoses or teen suicides are big, think about what's going into that. And that's where the work is. There are people that really need help. And I'm glad that I'm kind of doing this full time now, just talking about it and trying to get people into treatment and into help. So.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's its own like epidemic.
Totally is. And it's great that, the way I do it, it's a very serious subject matter, obviously, but, because, when your brother's Chris Farley, you gotta be throwing humor in there. And I love that I can go into schools and communities and talk about a serious subject matter, but also kind of get their attention, connect with them and use my brothers, all of them, as a model, and really, it's more of a motivational thing, which is funny because, I'm now a motivational speaker, which is very ironic and not lost on people.
Yeah, I think one of the pictures I have on the flyer, you have almost the same style of glasses too, so just get you a nice suit jacket.
Yeah, you're right. It's branding, my friend. It's called branding.
Yeah, absolutely, and helping people is always a great thing.
Yeah, but I love the people have such great memories of Chris. So I use that, you know, as I said, there's hope. There's, you know, I talk a lot about what my brothers all learned at Second City, which is improv, which is all about creating connection, ensembles, and boy, that's a big need right now too, just connection.
Oh, absolutely. Coming off of like 2 years of this COVID stuff, and yeah, you definitely need to be able to embrace more.
Yeah, we need to redefine what connection is and just connect better, you know, not go back to normal, because, you know, that wasn't so normal. You know, we weren't really good at connecting to begin with. So we have an opportunity now to really work on that. So
absolutely,
that's kind of fun. It's kind of it's nice to be in a you know, be doing something that people need and want and are truly grateful that you're doing it. So I like that as well.
Well, no, you probably covered some of it, at least in what we just talked about, but I was curious what compelled you to start the Chris Farley Foundation. I remember seeing the great commercial featuring all the SNL cast members. I thought that was really touching.
We had great, you know, great support from those guys, and it's pretty funny. So that was 25 years ago, and you know, we had Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey and Razor Trash and Horatio Sands, and you know, they're all still kind of relevant and around today. So I was lucky enough to they all loved Chris. So but I honestly, you know, to be honest, you know, how I started the Chris Farley Foundation, I was going into schools. I felt I needed to talk to kids, you know, that were fans of Chris's and send a message and tell Chris's story. But in the back of my mind, if I'm honest, I really thought, well, I'm a marketing guy. You know, I didn't have a job. You know, it was right after 9/11. It was kind of tough. I was living in New York. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show people what a great marketing genius I am and kind of build this brand. I didn't know anything about substance abuse, except from my personal experience, but I knew about branding. So I said, I'm going to build a brand. So I did this commercial with these SNL folks and got all this exposure. And I built a brand. It was great. But it also allowed me the time to really kind of figure out what I wanted to do and really figure out what the issue was and the problem was. So I kind of grew into that. But I started out just wanted to showcase, you know, my marketing skills. But the more I got involved in doing stuff, the more I felt more passionate about the actual, you know, helping people. So it grew on me, you know. So I looked. You know what the thing was, honestly, is I found, like my brothers, I was always that kind of the business guy. My brothers were all actors. But getting out in front of a, you know, group of people, going to an auditorium with a bunch of high school kids, like I see how my brothers are, and now my son is out in LA, an actor. I could see the attraction, and like, I love connecting with people just like they do, even though I'm talking about a serious subject matter. It's just the more I connected with people and I realized that that's why my brothers are so good as actors, because they know how to do this. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at it too. And I'm in a field where not a lot of people are good at it, you know, connecting with audiences. They all, you know, everyone feels like they got to have their PowerPoints out and their facts and their figures. And they're not concerned about connecting with audiences. I go just the opposite. Let's connect with the audience first, and then once you have that connection, you know, okay, then throw some stats at them, you know, and some PowerPoints, but you got to get them, you got to connect them first. And the Farleys seem to have that knack, so I was glad that I found that I also had it, and I'm glad that I'm applying it to a place that really needs it. So, but it is fun getting in front of audiences. Because public speaking is just brutally hard. Most people just, it's one of the biggest fears. And I just embrace it. I love it.
Yeah, I've always had a problem with it, too. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Well, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's still uncomfortable. I still do get nervous getting out in front of a crowd. But once I'm out there, I'm so used to it. It's what I call being comfortable, being uncomfortable. I told myself it's always going to be uncomfortable. So just get used to it. Just be comfortable with that feeling. And I did. And when you see a good speaker, that's half of it is they're just being comfortable out in front of people. They're okay with it. And that's, I kind of embrace that. I'm like, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable. Accept it and move on. You got a job to do. Connect with your audience. So it helps to be trained in improv too. I've taken a lot of classes in improv and also as I can see, like my brothers, and so I'm always ready to, you know, change it up, and you know, if somebody throws a curveball at me, I go with the flow. That's the beauty of improv. It's all made up.
Yeah, and I heard your parents were also pretty funny as well.
In their own way, there's no question. Yeah, my dad had kind of this magnetism that you saw and definitely saw in Chris. That people, you know, my dad would just be, and you would walk into a room and people just, he had people's attention and focus without even saying a word. Chris had that same thing. That he got from my dad. And my dad was also very funny, very Irish. Always, you know, always, you know, could make people laugh, but also loved to laugh himself, just like Chris. But my mom from Boston Irish, crazy, you know, she is fearless. You know, she can walk in, you know, she doesn't care what she says. So Chris is, you know, a lot of us are a combination of both, you know, different ways. So it's neat.
Yeah, your mom looks like she hasn't aged. I saw a recent picture of you guys with Matt Foley, and it looked like she hasn't aged very much in recent years.
No, yeah, we just had lunch with Matt last week. Yeah, no, she doesn't. I mean, well, that's the Farley secret. You always act 10 years younger than you really are. So my mom's, you know, in her 80s, but she's acting like she's like, you know, early 70s. It's like, you know, all her friends look old. Not mom. Mom does not look old. I'm just totally, you know, just got so much energy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess it's good to be young at heart and keep you young on the outside, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. So, she's fun, dude. She's so funny.
Well, you also wrote the book, The Chris Farley Show, A Biography in Three Acts. What compelled you to co-author that, and did you find it kind of hard to delve into, you know, Chris's life? Do you ever find that difficult?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a good story. You know, right after Chris died, you know, kind of the thing about Chris, if you ask, like, any of his friends, like, even when Chris was alive, we always had the stories on Chris, you know, like, God, you know, did you hear what he did last night? Or remember when he did that? We were always telling Chris stories, and you're the funniest person in the room, just telling, you know, the stuff you saw on screen was funny, but the stuff that he would just do every single day was even funnier. He was never not doing stuff like that. So, my first thought after Chris died was like, let me write a book with all these stories, you know, just like and gather from his friends. And I kind of shopped it around New York with publishing houses, and they said, yeah, that's great, but, you know, we want the full story, you know, we want the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I get it, but I just wasn't ready at that time to do that. So I kind of moved on. And about 10 years later, this guy that had just done John Belushi, a book on Belushi, said, hey, would you be interested again? You know, I've talked to a lot of the same people we talked to with for Chris. There's all the same, you know, producers and managers. And I'm like, you know what? Now I can do it because I've been out there in schools talking and telling Chris's story. So that's how it started. And we started interviewing and getting all these great stories from everyone, but not just the funny ones, just the real, you know, Chris's story. And it worked out really well. I mean, extraordinarily well. So it was the end product, you know. I like to say I have a better relationship with Chris now almost than I ever did when he was alive, because he was just my little brother. I really didn't appreciate him. But like hearing like his friends from all facets of his life telling the story and getting it right, you know, like, yep, that's Chris. Through their eyes, I got to appreciate just how unique he was. So it was really nice for me to do that, to write that book on that level as well. So it was a pretty cool project.
Yeah, I guess looking at it, I could see maybe it being difficult and maybe like cathartic in a way at the same time.
Yeah. But at the time, if I would have wrote it, I would have wrote like, yeah, in high school, Chris was a pain in the ass. And he was, you know, sharing a bedroom. And he wouldn't let me go to sleep. And, you know, if I was telling my relationship with Chris, it would have been, you know, just very one-sided and shallow, you know, just our relationship. But getting all these people involved and telling the story, like, yeah, it was truer and authentic. And again, it helped me kind of see him in a different light. So very grateful for that opportunity. I still have nightmares of having to share a bedroom with him, but I don't think those will ever go away.
Yeah, it had to be something growing up in that household.
It was crazy. I was the oldest son. I was the oldest boy, at least. And so I had all this, my dad, I assumed I had all these expectations. I had to do this, go to this school, and be, you know, successful in this. And I was just trying so hard to just be that person and meet all those expectations. And I turn around and Chris is like, fuck it. I mean, I'm sorry. He's just going around like, you know, not following any expectation at all. He was just having fun and making friends everywhere. That would just annoy me. It's like, how does he get to do that and I don't? And, just wanted to, I remember that. You know, it was good. I mean, if we were all just like, you know, that was the cool kind of factor of our families. We all were so different personalities and all had different, you know, kind of ideas on life, and we all kind of melded together. It's cool.
Yeah, you guys are all definitely very talented and funny.
Even Johnny.
Yeah, John's great. Kevin's awesome. And you have your own unique humor as well.
Yep. And now my son, as I said, is out in LA, and he's the next generation. He's out there working production, a lot of reality shows, and doing some stand up, and you know, trying to get in some movies. It's fun to watch somebody, like I watch my brothers, you know, like earlier in their careers, and now I get to watch my son Tommy early in his career and doing some of the same stuff.
Your own Tommy boy.
Well, he's the original Tommy boy. Yeah, you know, because he's Tommy the third, you know, was born right before Tommy boy. And, Chris was Tommy Callahan III, so, Tommy's the original Tommy boy.
That's great. He's gone out there and has getting into entertainment. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's enjoying it.
Well, Tom, what's the future hold for you? Got anything greater or expectations coming up?
As I said, I'm doing a lot of speaking. You know, now, as I said, with Rosecrans, I'm, you know, the school year coming up at the end of, you know, at the end of the summer, I'm doing a lot of, mostly Northern Illinois, Chicagoland, but yeah, just getting out and kind of talking to you know, teens and adolescents, and also communities and, you know, adults, and just trying to really talk about, you know, substance abuse and mental health. And again, doing it in my kind of same old way, and, you know, just engaging people, but really, you know, just trying to get people, you know, help and hope and all that stuff. It's, because, you know, as I said, people are, it's, you know, COVID's not going to be over in that respect. The pandemic might be over, but the effects of COVID are still out there. People are still struggling. And I just love to be a voice out there with, you know, some great messages and then working for this great, you know, organization that does actually get people help. So that's my future is doing a lot of that, a lot of public speaking on one end, and a lot of actually getting people through the door and into treatment and into help.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's about it. And then just, it's great. I got two daughters in New York, in Brooklyn, and my son in L.A., so I get to ping pong, you know, from coast to coast, and I get to go visit my son in L.A. and girls out in New York, and that's not too bad. Like, you know, certainly, especially in New York, because, you know, spend a lot of time out there. It's my, you know, second home. So,
very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming back on, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, always fun. Always fun. I've loved to spend like twice as much time just kind of hearing, you know, your stories. I mean, your interviews are fantastic. I've listened to a bunch of them, and you know, I was a big wrestling fan, you know, growing up. So.
Oh really?
Huge. Oh my gosh. Huge. So, I love, yeah. There's, you know, there's not enough of that out there, you know, people talking about it. So I'm glad you're doing it. Glad you're doing it.
Yeah, 14 years now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just gotta keep going, I guess.
Why not?
Absolutely. As long as I keep talking to awesome people.
Really good. And, you know, what's really cool is now there's just so many. I just, you know, just watched a little bit of what was it on? I was just watching something on The Undertaker this afternoon. They have these great, like, there's just so many great, you know, biographies or, you know, great, you know, just like some of these heroes I grew up with. You know, some of them struggled. Some of them had, some, you know, like Jake the Snake. Yeah, he's got a great biography out there of how he's, you know, come back around, and, you know, those stories, it's fun to see that, you know, these guys are still around, and they're still, you know, some of them had a tough time, some of them are coming back, some of them are, you know, getting their life back together, and, you know, it's pretty cool, so you're in a good spot.
Oh, absolutely. I've been very honored over the years.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your night, Tom.
Yeah, you too. And great to connect. And keep doing the good work. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
All right, man.
Alrighty.
Take care.
You too.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Alrighty, guys. Big thanks to Tom Farley Jr. It's been like 3 months now since I've done a show, just been kind of laying low and not doing much, but it's always nice talking to one of the Farley brothers. And I don't have any shows scheduled coming up, but when I do, I'll let everybody know. Thanks as always for listening. Have a great night.